Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
Congressman Collins illegally tips his son Cameron about the drug trial results so that his son Cameron could trade on those results.
Political and legal firestorm for Chris Collins.
Throughout my tenure in Congress, I have followed all rules and all ethical guidelines.
As long as he intends to remain a candidate, he controls that destiny.
I think it'd be very difficult to even replace Collins on the ballot at this point.
I'm Tim Wenger on 930 and 716. What a whirlwind 24 hours or so. Insider trading charges leveled against Western New York Republican Congressman Chris Collins. He's arraigned, pled not guilty, then came home.
Over the years, I invested heavily in Innate, became the company's largest shareholder,
and held an evening news conference, which was more of a statement than anything else. More on that in a moment. But first,
on the evening of June 22nd, 2017,
the charges leveled against Collins, as detailed by U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman.
Congressman Collins was at a congressional picnic, and at 6:55, he received an email from the CEO of Innate informing him of the horrendous news that the drug had failed its trial. At 7:10 p.m., Congressman Collins responded to that email. So as the indictment alleges, at least at 7:10 p.m., Congressman Collins was aware of the inside information. A minute later, Congressman Collins attempts to call his son. In a period of 5 minutes, there are six unsuccessful calls. On the seventh call, at 7:16 p.m., as alleged in the indictment, Congressman Collins illegally tips his son, Cameron, about the drug trial results so that his son, Cameron, could trade on those results. Later that evening, on June 22nd, after Cameron Collins has the illegal insider trading information, Cameron Collins drives with his fiance to his fiance's parents' house. They arrive at the house at 9:17 p.m., less than 20 minutes later, at 9:34 p.m., the fiance's mother is on the phone with her broker, beginning the process of selling her shares of Innate. The next morning, on June 23rd, at 7:42 a.m., Cameron Collins begins the process of selling his shares of Innate.
Then, hours after entering the not guilty plea, Collins came home.
Over the years, I invested heavily in Innate, became the company's largest shareholder,
and faced a hungry and inquisitive press corps.
Without my investments and steadfast financial support, the company would have gone under, bringing with it a premature end to a drug I truly thought would revolutionize treatment options for secondary progressive MS. Of all the things I wanted to accomplish in my life, finding a cure for secondary progressive MS was at the top of the list. After years of blood, sweat, and tears, we firmly believed we were on the verge of a medical breakthrough. Sadly, despite showing great initial promise, the drug was ultimately shown to be unsuccessful, which is a setback for all those suffering from this deadly disease. Many have speculated about my relationship with Innate. Here are the simple facts. My connections with the company are well known. I believe I acted properly and within the law at all times with regard to my affiliation with Innate. Throughout my tenure in Congress, I have followed all rules and all ethical guidelines when it comes to my personal investments, including those with Innate. When it became clear that the drug I and others believed in, fell short of our hopes and expectations, I held on to my shares rather than sell them. As a result, the significant investment I made in the company, worth millions of dollars, were wiped out. That's okay. That's the risk I took. My real concern lies with the millions of people suffering from secondary progressive MS who to this day struggle without life-saving treatments for their deadly disease. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am proud of my affiliation with Innate. I may have lost most of the money that I invested in the company, but I took the chance to bring relief to those who deal with the dreadful disease of secondary progressive MS every day.
Collins abruptly ended the session by walking away, not entertaining any questions.
I have not talked to Congressman Collins for some time, really. So I was kind of taken by surprise yesterday, just like everybody else.
It all leaves the chairman of the Republican Party of Erie County, Nick Langworthy, scratching his head and wondering what's next.
I don't believe either side, you know, tried to contact each other. He was obviously very occupied yesterday, given his travel and his time in New York City. It was a very difficult day.
What is your role going forward now? Because obviously this race that we've heard from all of our analysts was pretty solidly in a Republican district. They were expecting Chris Collins to kind of walk his way to a victory. People now saying it's absolutely in contention. What changes in your role going into November?
Well, I mean, my role is to run the Republican Party and to oversee, you know, all of the candidacies and how they interact with each other. In terms of a federal race, the county Republican Party can't have as much day-to-day involvement because the funding, we take corporate donations. The federal campaigns have to be completely independent of corporate donations. Therefore, the party cannot expend on behalf of these candidates. That's why the national committees come into these sorts of races. Congressman Collins in his remarks last night says he's going to remain a candidate. I mean, I take that as where he's at this point. The period of nominations closed, with primary day being June 26th, I believe. So that's in the rearview mirror. So as long as he intends to remain a candidate, he controls that destiny.
Nick, what did you make of his news conference last night? We talked to Michael Caputo this morning, who said he didn't think that the congressman did himself any favors.
I'm not sure why his attorneys had him call the news conference, but I do think he wanted to say his piece. I mean, he talked a lot about his biographical information and his business career. I mean, the strange thing of this, this indictment doesn't really involve his public service. It's really about his private companies. So you're on a two-track situation here where he was talking about his career in the private sector and in his investments, which obviously we've all known for a long time. Chris Collins has a lot of business arrangements and has had a lot of successful companies. But this has obviously, been a point of controversy for some time. He has to now go fight this in court and do what he can. He says he's going to try to clear his name, and I take him at his word that he's going to try to do that.
Would it be possible at this point for another name to be put on the ballot if Collins did pull out of the race?
Attorneys are researching all options, given that we didn't know what, Congressman Collins' position was going to be and still have not had those conversations. This is a fairly fresh situation. I do believe there are avenues to replace him on the ballot, but I'm not positive of that yet.
How serious of a case do you think this is? And what would your advice be to Congressman Collins? Would you want him to stay in or would you want him to resign?
I assume at some point I will talk to Congressman Collins and we'll share that conversation at that time. I mean, this is surprising news that everybody's really taken aback by. Again, as you said, this was kind of a sleepy race. Congressman Collins spent a lot of time out in his district, largely outside of even the Erie County orbit because it's eight counties in breadth. But we really believe that this was not on the forefront. So, everyone was taken by surprise. I'm very surprised that the U.S. attorney brought charges this late in a federal campaign after the periods of nominations are there. I think that this is the latest indictment against a member of Congress that's ever happened in terms of closeness to the election. So, and I think that's an unfortunate situation because it undoubtedly will have an impact on this race.
Here is part of what Collins had to say yesterday. Take a listen.
Because my focus is to defeat the charges in court, after today, I will not address any issues related to Innate Immunotherapeutics outside of the courtroom.
This is now the biggest issue by far in this particular campaign, in this election. Can he really go between now and November without answering any questions about his involvement in this?
I don't think that's realistic at all.
Going into this firestorm, Collins was a heavy favorite in a heavily favored GOP district. He did have Democratic opposition, however.
We knew this was coming.
Democratic challenger Nathan McMurray just hours after the news broke.
This is not some big surprise. I've been talking about this since the first day I got in the race. I got in the race because of this. I said, look, we can't have a guy representing us who's just trying to steal and cheat us. The problem I have is, how come so many people close their eyes to it? How come I was receiving messages or comments from the leadership of the same people that nominated him, saying this is all a lie and garbage, and how he's going to be vindicated by the people of Western New York. If the people of Western New York vindicate this man for what he's done, considering this history, it's not this issue, but the many, many, many issues that are building up. That's on them. But I believe in the people of NY27, and I think we are going to have a victory, and it's going to be a historic victory. And guess what? We're going to keep having victories for the people of NY27 for years to come, because I'm going to go to D.C., and I'm going to remember where I come from. I'm going to remember I'm one of seven who grew up hungry with my mom raising us by myself, and I'm going to be that same fighter I was on Sweeney Street, North Tonawanda, for the rest of my life.
You know, the American politics is about the fundamentals, and I think that's something we ignored in 2016, focusing on the candidates in the race.
We welcomed in studio with Susan and Brian on WBEN Thursday, Jacob Neuheisel, political expert from UB.
The fundamentals showed strong Republican, and it was a close victory for a Republican candidate. Here, the fundamentals of American politics definitely disadvantage the party that controls the White House in the midterm elections. And that's held in all but two or three elections over the last couple hundred years. And that's a really tough road to go down if you're a Republican right now and you're running for Congress.
Joined live in studio by UB professor of political science, Jacob Neuheisel, looking at the race now, and I think you can probably call it a race now when maybe you couldn't before in New York 27 after the Collins indictment. What chance does Nate McMurray have? We talked a little bit about the money that might be flowing in for Nate McMurray, but also we were talking a little bit off the air about the attention that now flows in for Nate McMurray. People are now going to be paying attention to what he has to say.
Absolutely. If you're a challenger, the biggest struggle you're going to have in any congressional race is going to be name recognition. Incumbents have it in spades. They have all the tools of the institution at their disposal to get their name out there, to advertise, take credit for things, take positions on a number of issues. And challengers traditionally don't have those avenues to get their name out there. And, well, nothing like this to make everybody pay attention to the challenger in this case.
You know, the Democrats largely were ignoring McMurray. He was really running on his own here. This is going to be quite the turnaround for some of them, right?
Right. I would look to see money pouring in, likely from the DCCC, which is going to be very strategic about where they put their money. Now they just put a new race on their map for ones that are gettable.
Was, going to Susan's point, we heard those remarks from Governor Cuomo, I think about a month ago now, when he said that Nate McMurray, maybe not the strongest challenger, he would rather have Kathy Hochul in there. In retrospect, now that we have this news, might that have been the case? Might the Democrats have been better off turning to somebody like Kathy Hochul, who may have been better poised to jump on this?
I mean, hindsight being 2020, absolutely. If you knew something like this was coming down the pike, yes, put somebody in there who has immediate name recognition, who can command an audience, courtesy of having held the seat before. It just becomes another dynamic to that race that's going to draw attention. I'm not sure how much of a bump that would have been, but certainly would have put the Democrats in a better position to win that seat.
You know, we're asking on WBEN.com of our listeners if they think the indictment against Collins will lead to his resignation. You know, we are 3 months away from the November midterm. Yes or no? it's almost split down the middle. 52% are saying yes, 48% no. That being said, if he did still resign, how difficult would that be for the Republicans to get somebody else in there?
Oh, it's going to be a terrible difficulty. I'm not an expert on ballot law in the state of New York. I think it'd be very difficult to even replace Collins on the ballot at this point. Moreover, who do you find in who's ready to go and has name recognition and money to make a real run at it?
You know, let me bring this up, too. Collins was the first member of Congress to support President Trump. Do you find the timing of this indictment at all suspect, being 3 months before the election?
Not really. I've always been one telling my students, wherever you see conspiracy theory, think in something along the lines of incompetence. I think it was just probably the time for this to happen, and I didn't really read much more into that. But the timing of that does play into narratives about a deep state, about those who are against Trump and his supporters. And so that's a likely retort for Republicans in that district to say, well, it's just, you know, more evidence that fits with my own biases regarding what's likely to happen here and the forces that are after my people.
Now what? As we so often say at the end of this podcast, time will tell. You can read, hear, and see a lot more at WBEN.com.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.